This is the Friday, July 13th, 2018 version of the Market Analysis segment from Market to Market. More tariffs, USDA reports, and favorable weather all squeezed the commodity markets. For the week, September wheat declined 18 cents while the nearby corn contract fell 19 cents. China's spending spree on Brazilian soybeans pressed the soy complex to another losing week. The August soybean contract plummeted 59 cents. A 22% drop since Memorial Day weekend. August meal dropped $12.10 per ton. A bright spot in the softs as December cotton improved $3.39 per hundredweight. Over in the dairy parlor, July Class 3 milk futures gained a nickel. A sell-off in the livestock sector as the August cattle contract weakened $1.83. August feeders declined $1.47, and the August lean hog contract shed $5.28. In the currency markets, the U.S. dollar index increased 73 ticks. Crude oil was off by $2.79 per barrel. COMEX gold deteriorated $14.60 per ounce. And the Goldman Sachs commodity index diminished nearly 15 points to settle at $465.95. Joining us now to offer insight on these and other trends is one of our regular market analysts, Ted Seifried. Ted, welcome back.
Hey, Delaney, happy Friday the 13th.
Oh, all right, Ted, starting off with that. Let's start actually with a social media question.
Okay.
Paul in Wisconsin, Columbus, Wisconsin, said, could China reduce U.S. treasury holdings, thus devaluing our dollar, making the tariff ineffective for their end users?
Yeah. Hi, Paul. That's a great question. We're not just looking at that for tariffs. We're actually watching that very closely for bond futures. Yes, that is something that they can do. They have a very large treasury bond holding. So they have a lot of tools that they can use. That would be very shady. The World Trade Organization would probably have a big problem with that. But it's not clear whether they care or whether they intend to use that or not. But we are monitoring bonds very closely for that exact situation.
All right. Let's move on here and talk about the wheat markets. We've seen, or we're going to see, lower production in the UK, the EU, potentially lower production here in the US with harvest going on right now. What does that mean for production, both domestically and worldwide?
Well, you just said it. I mean, we just saw a USDA report that's cutting production in many different areas. So the question really is, you know, lower production in the US, lower production in the EU, lower production in Australia, lower production in the Ukraine. They're not huge cuts by any means, but how many problems do we have to have the global balance sheet get stronger again? And we've been talking a lot about China and how they hold more than half of the U.S. or the world stocks of wheat. So you take that out of the equation and you've got relatively tight wheat stocks to what we've seen the last few years. So lower prices have kind of been the cure for lower prices. But now it's a question of what can the row crops do, because they might be the anchor for wheat.
Okay, let's move on, because we had a big report come out this week, and I know we want to make sure to get to touching on that with WASDE coming out this week. Let's talk about corn here. We raised exports for old and new crop corn. Why? How?
Why? So for old crop corn, we raised exports because exports have been great, and there's a lot of outstanding sales. Shipments have been solid. It looks like that's going to go out the door, so we're excited about that, happy to see it. That's a big reflection of what happened with Argentina and then Brazil second season corn. As far as new crop is concerned, we raised that number, one, because prices are low, two, because Brazil got lowered another 2.2 million metric tons. So the Brazil safrinic corn crop was really quite poor for them. They were expected at 96. They ended up at 82 or 83 and a half, which, you know, it has a big bearing on the first half of the marketing year for corn exports next year. Now, I'm very curious to see what happens going forward with corn exports, because what the USDA has not done yet is touch anything with the Ukraine. The Ukraine, they're still at 30 million metric tons, but you know, their acreage number that they're using is likely well too high. Everything that we're hearing from the Ukraine with the issues that they had with hot and dry, that yield could be quite a bit lower. So I think that Ukraine number is going to be lower. I think we're going to see more exports added to our new crop balance sheet. And I wouldn't be surprised if, instead of being 200 million bushels below last year or this current marketing year as the USDA started out, I think we're going to be close to or maybe slightly above last year's export figure, which would be really good for the balance sheet.
Will we continue to see carryover numbers cut as well?
Okay, so that brings us to the question of yield. Part of the reason why the market hasn't really done jumping jacks of about a 5.5 or 1.55 billion bushel carryover is because the market doesn't really believe the yield is at a 174. We've priced something in quite a bit higher than that. But here's the thing. If you keep adding to exports like I think we could, it maybe should, that allows cushion for upper or higher yield potential. So On my balance sheet, I'm comfortable with a 177 national average yield, still staying between a 1.5 and a 1.6 billion bushel carryover. This is a really bullish story for corn longer term. The problem is right now we're not paying so much attention to fundamentals. We're worried about yield. Mm-hmm. We're worried about all of the global issues that we have right now. And a lot of times markets will get kind of out of whack with fundamentals because they've got other things going on. We're watching money flow, or we're watching tariff talk, geopolitical issues. But ultimately, in the end, the fundamentals will win out. And again, longer term, I think corn has a really good story. And when we figure that out, you can see a pretty nice run in corn, hopefully.
With all that being said, why are we seeing, we just put in a December low here over the week, what was it, I think 333, 336, something like that. Why are we continuing to break new lows?
Yeah, fear, uncertainty, concern, pressure on soybeans, you know. Again, when we have a set of fundamentals that, you know, say one thing to guys like me and to you know, people that really pay attention to balance sheets, that might not mean a lot to people that pay attention to charts and pay attention to global issues and things like that. That's going to get traded first, but eventually the fundamentals will win out, and I see the fundamentals for corn being really quite friendly.
Okay. Ted, let's move on and talk about soybeans. Were there any big surprises to you this week when you looked at the WASDE report?
Yeah, I mean, it's surprising that the USDA ripped the Band-Aid off on China. They had said that they were going to make sweeping changes on their balance sheet if the tariffs had gone into effect, and they did. So we were expecting changes. We didn't know exactly what the USDA would do, whether they were going to start with the stair-step process, which they take sometimes, or if they were going to just go after it. What we saw on Thursday was them just going after it. And I really like the changes that they made. I like the fact that they have Chinese demand down 5 million metric tons. They have exports down 8 million metric tons from where they started. And it's actually a 2 million metric ton drop from last year. There are not a lot of people that thought that that could be possible. So the fact that the USDA went and did that, I think, is great, because honestly, I think that's what will happen. And that translates into a 250 million bushel loss in our exports and a 580 million bushel carryover, which it's a big carryover number. It's not the biggest we've ever seen. It's certainly not the biggest we've ever projected. And I don't think it really justifies the lower prices that we have right now. But as we were talking about in corn, fear, uncertainty, these sorts of things, they're dominating the market at the moment. The concern that we have is longer term with soybeans. If we don't get this trade issue fixed in the next year or two, China's going to start building infrastructure other places and start sourcing beans from somewhere else. That'll have a long-term negative impact on our soybean market and our market share. So that's the bigger problem. I think that's kind of what we're concerning with ourselves with. Also, the idea that if we end up with a 50 or a 51 national average yield, that 580 million bushel could turn into 700 or 800 million bushel.
Did you say this year?
What's that?
Did you say this year?
For which part?
For China building infrastructure and other parts.
Oh, no. See, that all takes time.
Okay.
Right? So, I mean, if we get trade tariffs, if we get the tariff situation or the trade war situation fixed in the next 9 to 18 months, I think we're okay. But anything beyond that, China's going to start throwing resources at developing Africa, further developing South America, developing the Chinese-Russian border. They have a lot of opportunities to do something like that, and we're just kind of encouraging them to do that the longer this goes on.
Is that part of the reason you think the USDA did lower exports to China? I mean, can they physically support themselves with not bringing in, you know, U.S. soybeans or other soybeans?
Well, you know, yes. Look, what the USDA did is they lowered their exports by a healthy amount, 8 million metric tons, but they're still the biggest importer of soybeans in the world. Basically, the USDA figured that the tariffs, or the higher prices, the self-inflicted higher prices, would have an effect on their demand. And I think that is very much the case. But that is not reflecting the idea of China going and starting to build infrastructure in other places and help grow other sources of soybeans. That's just showing that China is going to try to lean towards Brazil, cut their demand back a little bit. They're still going to have to import soybeans from us, but at a clip of 250 million bushel less.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's move on here and talk livestock. Let's talk feeders first. We're seeing a 150 right now for resistance level. What's the next level of resistance that you're looking to break through in feeder cattle?
Well, if you're bullish feeder cattle, I suppose. The 156 back from the March time frame is that big target to the upside. Whether we get there or not, I'm not sure. The chart certainly looks good, so I don't doubt it. But fundamentally, do we really have the reason to or not? I don't know. That'll prove itself out if we can continue to see cattle follow along with it or not.
When we look at the live cattle side of things, why are we seeing cash cash basis narrow in live cattle?
Well, it's actually really kind of hard to tell if we did that or not this week because we had such, at least up until, noon or 1 o'clock on Friday, we really didn't have a whole lot of cash trade this week, although it was kind of indicating that if we did, it would have been a couple dollars lower. So, that would suggest that cash is coming in a little bit. We've needed to. It's been widespread. We've been expecting cash to come down, so futures had earlier in the week kind of led the way to try to see if, outpace cash or get in front of it. But then we didn't really have a whole lot of cash trade. So I think we'll see more about that next week.
Okay. When we look at pork and cattle, time after time, analysts say pork is not a substitute for beef.
Right.
But with the tariffs going on right now, does that play an impact in the cattle markets?
It absolutely could. We're going to have a lot of pork to basically digest domestically because we're going to lose a fair amount of exports. We know we're losing exports to China with a 60% tariff there. We know we're going to be losing exports to Mexico. If we're not now, we will be doing it at some point. So we're going to have a lot of pork. But I don't know. I really do believe that the American consumer has a taste for beef. I don't think we're going to see a sharp drop in our beef demand. But it could cut into it a little bit, and that is a concern.
Okay. With all of that being said, has the market priced in a drop in exports for the hog markets?
Yes and no. I mean, for mostly yes. I mean, the Chinese market, we have definitely priced that in at this point. And the Mexican tariff, I think we've priced most of that in. However, there's an import quota that Mexico has of 350,000 metric tons, which is basically their needs between now and the end of the calendar year. So they can still import pork from us tariff-free at the moment. So when that kicks off, if they don't extend that, then we'll have to deal with that all over again. But at least for now, I think we're still trading at a pretty solid discount, about $11 or $12 discount to cash. Which is more than usual this time of year. So I think for the moment we have maybe found a little bit of a bottom. And I think hogs can kind of stabilize a little bit.
All right. Ted Seifert, thank you so much.
Pleasure's mine, Delaney.
That wraps up the broadcast portion of Market to Market. But we will keep the conversation going on Market Plus, where we'll answer more of your questions. You can find it on our website at iptv.org/MTOM. When our producers travel, we take you along for the trip. This week on our Instagram feed, we published images from our work in North Carolina. Give us a follow at IPTV Market. Join us again next week when we look at one Nebraska town's efforts to create incentives for better housing. So until then, thanks for watching. I'm Delaney Howell. Have a great week.